But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank thee for the word of truth. We pray that the same Holy Spirit who gave it may enlighten our hearts to receive it and to walk in the light of it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we'll continue in our studies in St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the overall purpose of which is to prove that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, and the only way for sinners to go to heaven. Because only he can forgive sins. Now he showed previously that in chapter 1, that the whole world, the Gentile world who's never heard the Bible, are lost. Why are they lost? Because they're sinners. And everyone who doesn't have a Savior is lost just because he is a sinner and rebel against God and his kingdom. Now here in chapter 2, the apostle is addressing the Jews and shows that they are just as lost as the Gentiles without Christ. Why? Because they're sinners. And a sinner without a Savior is lost. Paul is particularly concerned about the false hopes of the Jews. They tended to regard themselves as saved simply because they were Jews. They looked at themselves as a nation in covenant with God through the covenant God made with Abraham. And so they were children of God because they were children of Abraham. This is a great mistake. It's one that Scripture continually addresses. And curiously enough, it's an error that's held by many evangelical Christians who are dispensationalists. Some even say, well, God has a covenant with the Jews, and he has a covenant with Christians, and there are two different covenants. Covenant with the Christians is a covenant of grace, but he has a covenant with the Jews, and they're saved not by grace, but by race. The Bible in numerous places says the Jews are just as lost without Christ as the Gentiles. To take one very powerful example, St. John says in his first epistle, everyone who denies that Jesus is the Messiah is Antichrist. Everyone, Jew or Gentile. I don't know how I could be more clear. The Jew who says Jesus is not Messiah, Scripture says, is Antichrist. The liberal Protestant who says Jesus was a wonderful teacher but not Messiah is Antichrist. The unbelieving Jews said to Jesus, but we have Abraham to our father. Remember what he said? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. This is not anti-Semitism. After all, Jesus and John are ethnically Jewish. But it's a great truth that anyone in the human race, whether Gentile or Jew, who dies in his sins will go to hell. Now we'll begin in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Well, as I said, the Jews thought they were in God's favor just because they were Jews. I don't know what they thought when they read Isaiah, their prophet, who said, though the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea for a multitude, yet only a remnant shall be saved. They thought they were all saved. Holy Spirit says through Isaiah, only a remnant, only a small number, a fraction. And Paul says, you rest in the law. You think you, because you have God's law, you're safe. But the law of God is not a way of salvation unless it drives you to Christ. Because the law condemns you for your sins. Thou art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form and knowledge and of the truth in the law. The Jews regarded themselves with great pride because they had the truth that the Gentiles did not have, which was true. They had the scriptures. So they were the guide to the blind Gentiles. They were a light to those who sit in darkness. The Gentiles are foolish, but they're wise. They're babe, but the Jews are their teachers. They prided themselves on having all this knowledge and the truth of God's word. But they didn't realize that having all these things made them more responsible. And if they rejected their Savior, it only made them more guilty. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Paul says, all right, God has loaded you with special privileges. I concede that. But what about your sins? You have God's law, and you teach people not to steal. Have you ever stolen? You know, most of us as parents know that it is not unusual at all for little children to shoplift, be caught shoplifting, at least once in their childhood. And you know what the Lord says through Malachi. Will a man rob God? That's stealing, isn't it? Will a man rob God? And the people says, what do you mean? We haven't robbed you. And God says, you have all robbed me in tithes and offerings. That's stealing, isn't it? A minister told his congregation, the trustees have determined that we need to embark on a very expensive building program. He says, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is we have the money. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You say a man shouldn't commit adultery, very good. But have you ever committed adultery? You know, the Lord tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, you can break the seventh commandment mentally without ever doing anything and still be guilty. You hate the idols of the Gentiles, but have you ever done anything against the sacredness of God's religion? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? You're proud you have the law. You think that makes you special in the eyes of God, but how many times have you broken it and dishonored God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. The Gentiles, observing the hypocrisy of the Jews, speak evil of their God. You know, for a lot of people, they will never know what kind of God we have except by your behavior. If a member of the visible church, whether a Jew in the Old Testament or a Christian in the New Testament, is not consistent, if he's a hypocrite, it's going to reflect on God. It dishonors God and Paul's words. You ever hear anybody say, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites? You know, the proper reply is, There's always room for one more. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. The Jews rested in being a Jew and being a child of Abraham, being in the true church, of having the law, of having knowledge, but especially they rested on having the sacrament of circumcision. Rabbi Menachem, in his commentary on the books of Moses, said, "Our rabbins have said that no circumcised man will see hell." In the Midrash, the Jewish Midrash, it says, "God swore to Abraham that no one who was circumcised should be sent to hell." And again this, "Abraham sits before the gate of hell and does not allow that any circumcised Israelite should enter there." Now, that's, you see why Paul is addressing this faith in their circumcision as being the same as salvation. Circumcision was the Old Testament version of holy baptism. It was a divine sacrament. It was a great privilege. But like holy baptism, it doesn't automatically convey salvation. It comes through faith in Christ alone. It marks a person not as a member of the visible church, but if his heart is not right with God, it only increases his condemnation. On the other hand, if the sacrament is on a faithful member of Christ, it's a mark of great privilege. But it doesn't protect lawbreakers who are unforgiven. "Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision." Now, Paul is here speaking theoretically, because, you know, his overall point is, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, without exception. But he says, just for the sake of argument, suppose an uncircumcised Gentile has kept the law perfectly, and you, as a circumcised Jew, have broken it. Which one is God going to count as righteous? You see, your circumcision doesn't protect you if you're not forgiven. "And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law?" Paul continues his argument. If an uncircumcised Gentile could keep the law of God perfectly, wouldn't his righteousness condemn you, even though you're circumcised? You deny the letter of the law, what it clearly says. You deny what circumcision stands for. And Paul is saying, this is really the same as the unbaptized believer shall condemn the baptized unbeliever. "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." By Jew here, the apostle means a true child of God. It's never the outward things that make you a child of God. It's the inward. You see, everything that the Jews are counting on is outward. They have the law. They have the sacrament. But the letter of the law reveals you as a sinner. But it can't cleanse you from sin. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. He does that through faith in Christ, whether you're a Jew or Gentile. He does it by leading you to repent of your sins and believe in Christ alone for salvation. The apostle was addressing his countrymen, the Jews, but all he says applies equally to Christians. All the Jews counted on was outward. They were the chosen people. They had the law. They had the knowledge of holy things. They were circumcised. Great privileges indeed, but just increased the responsibility. And it didn't take care of the problem of their sins. You know, thousands of Christians have died in their sins for the same reason these Jews, these unbelieving Jews. They count on outward things and not faith alone in Christ. They belong to the true church. They have God's law. They try to follow it. They're good persons. I knew a minister who went to a conservative evangelical church. He just took the charge. And he went and visited every family in the church. This church had been around since 1936 when it broke from the Presbyterian Church USA. Evangelical, Reformed, supposedly, and probably was in preaching. But preaching doesn't reach everybody. This minister went around and he asked these families the Kennedy question from D. James Kennedy. If you died tonight and God said, "You're a sinner, why should I let you into my heaven?" What answer would you give God? And he was shocked to find how many people gave an answer, "I taught Sunday school for 25 years. I belonged to the church for 40 years. I've always tried to be a good person." The only correct answer is, "I know I'm a sinner, but Jesus died for my sins." The old song says, "Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. For he is not a Christian who is one outwardly, but he who is one inwardly, in the spirit and not in the letter." Let us pray. Lord, we would be Christians in our hearts. Forbid it that we should rely upon anything for our salvation, but faith alone in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen.